Hello, and welcome to the AFS Exchange. My name is Kate Mulvihill. The AFS Exchange is a podcast by AFS USA, where we open the door to hear from members of our AFS family. This is a place to have conversations, exchanges, with AFS host families, students, volunteers, and educators. During these exchanges, we will hear from our guests on how their lives have been impacted by AFS. What lessons have they taken away from their experience abroad or their experience with hosted students in the United States? I had such a great time chatting with this episode's guest, Zodi. Zodi is a committed, goal-oriented AFS returnee who spent a year in France in 2017-2018. And I say committed and goal-oriented because she raised most of the money for her program herself by running a marathon. And in addition to speaking about the road she took, ran to get to France, we will also hear about her unique upbringing on a hospital ship off the coast of West Africa, her family, and her takeaways from her time abroad. So, Zodi, could you introduce yourself?
Definitely. My name is Zodi Tuschwind, and I have a weird growing up story. I actually grew up overseas, so my parents worked with an NGO called Mercy Ships. They operate the largest non-governmental hospital ship, and they provide free surgical care to people on the coast of West Africa, like very specialized surgical care. So for tumors, for burns, for things that the local hospitals aren't able to provide. So growing up on a small hospital ship, very international community, very much volunteer oriented, everyone's a volunteer on board. So that was quite the experience. There was an accredited school on board. So I went there and I was surrounded by people from all over the world all the time. It was always changing. So I was meeting new people all the time.
That's amazing. And that's off the coast of Senegal specifically, or does it travel?
It travels. So we usually stay in one place for 10 months at a time. So we were in Senegal. It was actually the first time we were there. We've been to Guinea. We've been to Togo, Benin, a lot of countries on the West Coast.
So you going to France, this was absolutely not your first international experience.
No, it was not. But it was my first time away from my family for so long.
Can you tell me a bit about your family?
Yes. So I have two little brothers who are both 8 years old. They're adopted from Congo. And then I have a younger sister. We're both adopted from Ethiopia. And I am a U.S. citizen, so I came here when I was little. And my family lived here for like five, six years, and then we moved to Africa. But yeah, my family, oh, we are a crazy bunch.
What kind of things would you do together growing up?
Especially, well, on board the ship, you can go off the ship during the weekends because obviously we're in school during the weekdays. So we'd go off and meet the local people. We'd obviously go to the beach. We would go to whatever activities were available. One time the ship went to Madagascar, so we got to go to lemur parks, all sorts of things there. Definitely a unique experience.
Did you start to learn other languages growing up? Did you kind of know the basics of things as you traveled?
So most of the countries we went to were actually Francophone. So they spoke French there as the like trade language, but there was always a local language. So we would learn, you know, little bits like, hi, how are you? Just to be able to like ease into the culture a bit. But we did learn French in our school so that we could communicate in the marketplace as well. And that's a big reason why I went abroad. Because I mean, you only get so much in the classroom. Mm-hmm. Like learning kitchenware is not really helpful when you're like on the street trying to talk to people. You're like, hi, I know how to say spoon.
Right.
That's not really going to help me though.
No, it's not. It's not. Or like very specific, like school supplies. Like I know all my school supplies, but like how often do I really talk about like a binder, right?
Exactly. So I knew like immersion was the only way that I was actually going to be able to like cement my French. So that's why I decided to go abroad.
Would you be able to tell me a bit more about how you got to France after running a whole lot?
Yes, I ran a lot. Just before I decided to go to France, we'd been living in Congo, actually. So we'd left the ship by that time, and we were adopting my brothers, and it was a long process. So after we left Congo, we were in the States, and I was like, okay, Mom and Dad, I've been telling you I want to go to France. How can I make this happen? And so I had about 4 months before I would leave, to raise about $15,000. And my parents living on board the ship, where everyone's a volunteer, you actually pay to live on board the ship. So you raise support from home and then you work on board. They were like, we love this idea. We will support you, but we can't financially support you. You need to find a way. So I was like, okay, I need to think of something really big that I can get people excited about. So I was a runner. And I was like, okay, what is a running goal that I've had? Well, I've wanted to run a marathon, but I hadn't really heard about 15-year-olds running marathons. I was like, okay, this will get people excited. So I was like, okay. I sat down with my dad. I was like, let's make a plan so that I can run a marathon and I can get people excited about sponsoring me per mile. And I did it. When I crossed the finish line, I raised $10,000.
That's amazing. Congratulations.
I lost all my toenails. It was so intense. So it was brutal. By the end, I was like, yeah.
So the thought was that if you didn't finish the marathon, you wouldn't get the money?
Exactly. I was like, if I want to go to France, France is on the end of the finish line.
So you were a runner in high school. So high school, you were on the ship?
I was.
So what did that look like?
Well, there aren't really a lot of extracurricular activities because the school is so small. So I kind of had to find my own way to run. And every morning, there are a group of people that would run through town. So I started joining them when I was about 10, and then I just kept going, and I was like, I love this. And so I actually ran a half marathon, again, planning it with my dad. So we'd done the planning before, and I was so excited. I was like, okay, someday I'll run a marathon. So when I got to fundraise, I was like, this is a great time to meet a goal. Well, get two goals at once.
Did you do any running while you were in France?
I did. Oh, it was beautiful. They're like, where I lived, a lot of country roads, run by cows and farmland. It was beautiful.
I would love to hear more about where you were placed in France. Could you talk about the beginnings of your program?
So I was placed in Western France, where the houses were 200-year-old stone houses. It was very quaint. I loved the little town. When I learned that I was accepted into the program, I was super excited, of course. And so it was kind of like, I'd been given the option, would you like to live in a city or in the countryside? And I didn't care. And so when I was placed in the countryside, I was like, oh, this is going to be totally different because I'd only lived in port cities. So it was a totally new experience to have so much space and people aren't everywhere and the air smells so good. So that was exciting for me. So I'm the oldest in my family, but in my host family, I was the youngest. So everyone was out of the house. Well, they had grown kids. Two actually were still living in the house, part-time, so they'd come in and out. And then three lived out of the house. It was a double placement. So I was with another exchange student from Norway, and she was 2 years older than me. So we kind of we were sisters, and we still are. We're really good friends. So it was a weird dynamic for me to learn that. I was like, okay. I mean, I love my siblings, but I was like, okay, I can have some time away from them. But I did have little cousins who came over. They lived next door. So my host cousins came over and I got to have, the time with kids. And I was like, okay, this is good.
That's great. And what kinds of things would you do with your host family and your host sister?
We would travel a lot. So in France, we usually had about 7 weeks in school. We had about 7 weeks. We'd be in school and then we'd have about 2 weeks off. So during those 2 weeks off, we would go to the north. We went to Nantes. We went to a lot of cities up there, Verdun, which was super cool to learn about the history. And then we also went down to the south. We went to close to the Pyrenees where we went skiing. I went skiing for the first time. That was an experience. It was great, but difficult. And we just traveled the area, visit friends. Really, really enjoyed that.
How would you get around the amazing train system there, or car?
Well, we lived 20 minutes away from the town that I went to school, Châtellerault. So my host mom would usually drive us, but there was a bus. If I wanted to go on my own, I could take the bus. There was also a train to another city, Poitiers, so the bigger city nearby. So sometimes I would hop on the train with my friends and we'd go for a day to Poitiers and just walk around. That was a lot of fun.
And it seems like you had a good amount of freedom and were able to, go off on your own. And
yes, I found it interesting with comparing, I don't know, American teenage life, because here in the States, you can drive at 15. Well, you get your permit at 15 and drive at 16. And so you can go anywhere. But in France, because you can't officially have your license or whatever until you're 18, 17, 18, all the teenagers just did things in the area. So you'd walk places together. That was different for me, but I enjoyed that as well.
Yeah. And especially in a small town too, you just see kids kind of hanging out.
Exactly.
just outside. That's, they have all these, you know, like the squares in the center of town. Like, yeah, the fact that they're less mobile than American teenagers, that, that has something to do with it. So your host sister was from Norway. Could you talk a bit about her and also what it was like to be with the other AFS students in your area?
So my host sister, or my exchange sister, yeah, she was from Norway, but she was also part Vietnamese and Chinese. So she kind of had that cultural blend that I had kind of, I'd grown up in as well. Very different personalities. So we kind of clashed slightly in the beginning, but then we became fast friends, which, oh, I love her. Her name's Chi, and we don't talk as much anymore, but whenever we do, it's like time hasn't even passed. So when we lived together in France, we went to the same school. We were in different grades, but we got to see each other during lunchtime. And there were about five other AFS students that were also going to my school. A girl from Iceland, the Netherlands, from Finland. She wasn't at the school, but near us. America, one student came later. So we had quite a bit blend. Oh, we also had a guy from Chile who actually lived in my town as well. So it was definitely a good group of friends. And by the end, we were really close. We hung out a lot in the beginning, definitely, because we were trying to figure out French culture and our language skills weren't the best. But my host family, they let us speak English. So Chi and I, we could speak English for the first month. And then after that, they said, no, you can only speak French. So there was a lot of silence in the beginning. But over time, with our like hand gestures and trying to like communicate, we were able to do it. And by the end, our AFS group, we were just speaking in French. I was so impressed with us. I was very proud of us. This was totally different, but I got to be a part of a medieval play. So that was different, way different than I thought. Like, that's not something I would ever sign up for on my own. But my host sister was very much into, like, theater and acting. And so she's like, okay, to me and my AFS sister, she's like, you guys, let's go and be part of this medieval play. And we're like, what is this? So we went, and we had, like, these lines from, what, the 1300s, and we just had to recite them, memorize them. I could barely understand modern French. How in the world am I going to understand, ancient French? So we learned the lines. We, like, got dressed up. And these were, like, dresses that were so heavy. Like, we had the veils and everything, and it was actually the scene, the place where we would act, like there was a castle there, so we'd actually walk around. We were always moving everywhere, so the audience would move with us. It was intense, but it was so much fun. Like, I got to meet people that I would never meet before. We got to eat lunch a lot of times with them on the weekends and get to know them, and I loved it. It was such a different experience. And I was like, man, this is a great takeaway from being in France, like just walking around in garb from 700 years ago.
That's so cool. So it was like you went, did the rehearsals for a while, mm-hmm. and then the play was like a traveling throughout the castle play? Mm-hmm.
So they would move to the different sections, and we had one, we were like selling fabric. So that's what we were doing, and we were talking about, I don't know, the royalty in the castle. I don't remember my lines. But yeah, so they would move, and they would take pictures, of course, and just, it was so much fun. It was.
So it was mostly French people, except for you and your host sister?
Yes, and my host sister and two other AFS students. So one from Germany and one from Iceland. So we did it together. We laughed. Oh my goodness, we laughed so much. It was
That sounds great. So fun. So how much French did you know going into this? A fair bit?
I thought a fair bit, but I was proved wrong on day one.
Okay.
So again, I had classroom French for 4 years. And so when I went to France, I was like, okay, I got this. Like, I can get by. I remember I arrived on Sunday evening and I was in class Monday morning. I was sitting there and I was listening to the teacher. And I was like, I don't even know. I have no clue what he's saying. He was speaking so fast. And I was just like, breathe. It's okay. You can do this. And then by the end, I was so proud. By the end of the 10 months, I understood him. I could communicate. So trying to answer your question, I really didn't know much in all honesty, like conversation, like really fast, because that's how we speak all the time. So I did not have that down.
Okay. But it seemed like, you know, you were not alone and
not at all.
You and your group were all learning together. Okay. That's great. So would you be able to go through kind of like what a normal day was like, the routine of it all?
So generally school would start around 8. So I could take the bus, which left around 6:30, or I could wait until my host mom drove me around 7:30. So I would generally take the offer from my host mom, and I would go to school at lunchtime. I would meet with my friends, so that like French, my French friends or my AFS friends, and we'd eat together. French food is delicious, and I'll talk about that later. Then school would end generally around 3. Well, actually, on Wednesdays, it would end at 12. So by that time, I could just leave and I could walk around the town. That's when I would generally take the train to Poitiers and just walk around with my friends. If it did end on a normal time, so 3, I would go to a cafe nearby. I would go to the library. There's like a beautiful rose garden that was in the area. So I'd go there, walk around again with my friends, and do homework. There was a lot of homework in French schools. So I would do my homework and wait for the bus that would come around 6, and I would take that to go home to my host family. And we didn't eat dinner until about 8 or 9, which is very different for me. We would eat dinner and then we would sit and talk for about an hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours. So by that time, I would go to bed around 10 or 11. That's a day without handball practice. So I played handball, which was the extracurricular activity I did. Handball was my first time, and everybody on the team had played before. Even she was actually a handball coach back in Norway. So I was like way out of my league. I came in and the coach was like, you haven't played?" And I was like, "No, I've never played this game." So, I mean, he really tried and I tried as well, but eventually I just ended up being the goalie, you know. Easiest, it's not easy at all, but it was less complicated than the other like field players. So I would do that usually on, I think it was Tuesday and Thursdays, and I would come back home by 10. So it was really late. We'd eat dinner and again chat a little bit, and we'd go to bed at like midnight, and then we'd start school again. So it was long days, but you kind of get used to it over time. Oh, like in the beginning, it was super tired, but by the end, you know, you're fine with it.
And the long French meals that start late in the evening, and then the very long French meals on Sundays, these are things that really help with language practice. They do. I mean, comprehension, even if you're just kind of zoning out at some point, yes.
So true. We had very long meals. I loved on Saturday and Sundays, we'd have lunch together, and then I think we had dinner on Saturdays as well with the larger family. So the aunts and the uncles would come over, sometimes the cousins, and the meals were delicious, of course, because that's when like everything came out. And we'd just sit, we would eat the main meal. No, of course, we'd have like in the beginning, just like that. Appetizers, and then we'd have the main meal, and then the cheese, and then the dessert, and then the coffee. And we just like relax and chat about life. I enjoyed those days so much. But usually on the weekdays, dinners were pretty simple. You'd always have the cheese. The bread and the cheese are a must. You can't have a meal without them. It's like taboo, like, absolutely not. Like, how can that even be a meal? Which was so weird for me because technically I'm lactose intolerant, but in France I was like, no, this can't work. Like, I just gotta embrace the culture. And then the bread as well. So you go to the bakery every day and have delicious bread. Oh, it's warm. I can still hear it like cracking as you open it. But it was really, really good. They take their meals seriously. You do not walk and eat. That is something that I learned. I was used to like, you know, you grab lunch and you're walking to class or whatever. No, you sit and you eat. And you talk. It's the French way.
Yes. I also have been. I'll either be walking and eating, and people will make comments either like bemused or just like
Exactly.
bon appétit. And
Is that a meal? Yeah, exactly. Snacks. That was an interesting concept for me. Like, you don't really snack at all. So we would eat breakfast. Oh, I'd eat breakfast around 7, and it was just bread and jam. And I don't know, I have protein breakfast, so a lot of time I'll have maybe some meat and eggs. And that was very a foreign concept to my host family. I was like, "Do you guys have any like ham or anything?" And they're like, "What? You would eat that for breakfast?" I was like, "Yeah, I need energy. Like, I can't live on bread alone." So I mean, they tried to kind of help me out a bit there. But so you'd eat the bread, and then lunch you don't eat anything in between breakfast and lunch. And for me, I'm like, you know, you have a snack around 10. I had some almonds one time I was eating in the hallway, and my classmates were looking at me like I was like some glutton. They're like, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm sorry, I'm just eating some almonds. Do you want some? It was so weird for me. But they do have a goûté. So around like 4, they do have snack. It's mainly just pastries. So that was kind of nice for my stomach. I was like, okay, a break between lunch at 12 and dinner at 8.
So what would you do on lunch break, speaking of school? Would you eat in the cafeteria? Would you go out?
I would generally eat in the cafeteria because the food was so good. Like, pretty different from like the way American-style food is done in cafeteria. Again, because meals are taken so seriously. You go and you usually get like a carbohydrate, so some sort of rice or couscous. And then you would get your meat. So you had beef, lamb, cow stomach. That was interesting for me. That was totally serious. I didn't know what I was eating until I asked my friend. She's like, yeah, that's cow stomach. I was like, oh, and you're not like, it's just normal for you, I guess. She's like, yeah. I was like, okay. It was interesting.
Wow.
I won't have it again. Then you generally have a vegetable. So beans or whatever was there, eggplant sometimes. And they had an intense salad bar. Like, it was like hardcore. So you have you have like options for lettuce. Like, wow. You have all your like the things you put on your salad, and then you'd have sometimes meat. So they'd have salmon. Wow, this is very chic. It was so nice. So you'd sit down with your meal. Oh, there was also dessert. Can't forget dessert. There was bread, of course, and a variety of cheeses. So you sit down and you have an hour and a half to 2 hour lunch. So I'd just sit there and I'd be like, okay, well, I'm done. Do I just wait for my friends? Like, how do we go about this? Because again, I was so used to just you eat and you're out. And then you go to class, you go do whatever you have to do. So it's very much about like being intentional about being in the present. And that's what I enjoyed a lot about French meals, like there with the people. It's about people. It's about relationship. It's not about necessarily what you're, I mean, the food was good, but it wasn't about the food. So that was a great way to like get to know, again, AFS students as well as my French classmates.
That's great. Yes. And it really does kind of highlight a very key difference between the way Americans approach food, but also kind of life in a way versus the way the French do. Let's see. Are there any other experiences like that that you noticed in France that like culturally the French do something XYZ very differently than we do here or value something differently?
So I went to France as a perfectionist. I would say France actually broke me of that, which is kind of ironic because I found that the French themselves are perfectionists as well. They want to do things with excellence, which is wonderful. Like in class, the students, I was amazed by everybody's handwriting. That's something that I noticed. Everyone has impeccable handwriting. This drive for excellence was wonderful because, I mean, it really, my classmates went above and beyond, but I also saw it as like a point of stress for them. So it was really hard sometimes for them to say an incorrect answer or to try out of fear of failing. So especially in like English class, for instance, where they could like practice their English on me. And it was just like a fear that I'm actually failing. I'm not doing good enough, so I shouldn't try. And I was like, no, you gotta just keep trying. It's okay. At least my classmates, I can't speak for all French people, are more hard on themselves than they are to the foreign, like on foreigners. Because I mean, like, I'm an American. I can make mistakes.
Absolutely.
The relationship with the teacher I thought was interesting too. And in certain classes, I found that the teacher was just there to like dictate everything and you write everything. It doesn't matter if you need it or not. And that was challenging for me again, because I'd been so used to being able to talk to my teachers after class and say, okay, can you help me with this or that? Or can I come in after class or whatever? There is less of like a hierarchy, and the teacher doesn't make sure to like emphasize that in any way. Like, they're really there to help you. So that took some getting used to. There were, of course, some teachers I could go up to, but they were a lot younger as well. So that was interesting to notice that with the different ages of the professors.
That's something that I know is sometimes difficult for international students when they come to the US. If they're not used to being able to ask for help, they don't even know it's an option. And so we often encourage AFS students like, no, the teachers here, like, they want to help.
That's interesting.
What would you say surprised you about the French people or about France in general?
I guess going back to the community, like relational element, I think that surprised me. I don't know why I didn't assume that they would be so community oriented, but they really are, especially again, going back to the meals where you are together and it's taken very seriously, especially on the weekends. Like, all the family comes together and you're just with one another. And you talk, how'd the day go? How's the week going? Like, how, just to catch up. I didn't really see French culture as that. Like, the stereotype sometimes, I guess I was buying into, like, oh, the French are just always proud or whatever. And they are, in a sense. Like, of course you're proud of your culture, of just how the rich history of France. Like, I love learning about the history. Like, yes, you have so much to be proud of, but that pride doesn't make you, like, unapproachable in any way. No, you're very, like, community-oriented. So I was pleasantly surprised by that. And I enjoyed that a lot. Because then after, even now, when I go to sit down for a meal, I'm like, okay, no, I have to sit at the table. Mom, Dad, come, let's chat. That's really in the way I approach my meal, seeing it as a time to catch up. So that's really affected me. And I'm really happy about that.
So what would you say that your time abroad has taught you about the U.S. or your American identity? And I know that, you know, you have a unique story. So interpret that however you want to interpret it.
So having grown up, kind of traveling so much, the question of like cultural identities really has always been really difficult for me to answer, especially when it comes to like being an American. However, my experience in France actually made me really proud to be an American. And I had never felt that before, just to know like, okay, man, I come from this country that everybody wants to go to. Like, oh, so many of my classmates are like, oh, I want to go to America. But I also don't like America, but I love it. And I was like, okay, what is this weird relationship you have with my country? Like, but I could say it was my country in that sense of like, I was the American, like I was representing. It's a big burden sometimes, but you are representing your nation. And it was an honor. And I'm like, okay, this is what an American is like. Let me show you, like, let me tell you about where I'm from. So then when I, like, 4th of July, when 4th of July came around, I was like, oh, so excited. I was way more patriotic than I'd ever been. I was like, wow, what is this? Like, my inner American is coming out. And also, I missed American diners. Like, I realized that is so American, and I didn't realize that before. Sorry, one other thing. A cup of coffee. That is what I missed when I was in France. A normal cup of coffee where I can just sit there and like at least take 20 sips and it's still not gone. Because you get the little cappuccino in France, you take one sip and it's gone. And you're like, there's like one shot.
They'll give you a little cookie, but it's not the same. But it's not the same. You're right.
They do. Okay, true. But I missed a good cup of coffee.
Right.
Sitting in a diner and getting eggs and what? Bacon. So all this stuff came up and I was like, wow, I never knew I really liked that. Now I know. I love America, and I just see just the benefit of not only coming from here, but also benefit of traveling and being in other places and realizing that where you're from, you can be proud of it, but don't be like exactly snobbish about it. Also realize that you have so much to learn from other countries, from other people, and don't think that everybody thinks the way you do. That was a big thing for me. And I like being pleasantly surprised. As hard as it was, yes, were there tears? Absolutely. But, you know, that comes with the experience. I would say, of course, go ahead and do it, because you're not only going to learn about another culture, learn another language, but ultimately you're going to actually learn more about yourself. And you learn what you're like, not only what you're like under the stress and the pressures of life, but just what you're like away from your family, what gets you super excited, what you never thought you'd necessarily be good at, but you actually are really good at. Like, and language learning in and of itself, it's just, you're just amazed by your capacity to learn. Our brains are amazing. Like, what, in 4 months, I was like, oh man, I can totally understand. Like, I understood everything he just said, and I can actually add some comments to what he said. And you're just amazed by your own ability to handle the situations you're put in, how flexible you are. So yeah, it is daunting, and it can be scary, but you won't regret that you did it. Like, I look back and like, I'm still learning. Like, I'm still looking back and learning about things like, oh my goodness, wow, that was an amazing experience. And I see how it's affected me now. Exactly. Like the whole food thing I was talking about. Wow. The way I view people, the way I communicate in general, you're going to learn about yourself, and it's a fun adventure, just getting to know yourself and getting to know other people and, of course, the culture you're in. And don't be afraid to try crazy things, like go and strut around in clothing that is ancient. Like, just do those things, and you meet some really cool people. So don't be afraid of it. And be honest as well, because I noticed that AFS was really helpful in the weekends that they hosted, and I felt like they were really there for me and my host sister as well. I mean, my AFS sister when we go for those weekends and be able to reconnect. Like, it was a time where we were like, okay, we really feel supported. And when you know you're supported, it makes it a lot easier. And you feel more safe as well. A lot safer when you're in different places. So do it. You will not regret it.
Yes, I agree. And the AFS support network, I went abroad in college and I had a great time, but I feel that if I were to have gone in high school, it would have been so valuable to have other people going through the same thing as me. Whereas with college, it was more like, okay, like this is how you get your credits transferred, right? So I think AFS, it's invaluable. Absolutely.
And I think one thing I would say, like piece of advice as well, is realize that there's always a honeymoon phase when you go to a new place. So the honeymoon phase can last from like 1 month to 2 months. But then you live everyday life in another place. So have realistic expectations of being like, okay, like you're going to have a hard time sometimes, but you're also going to have a great time. So don't just like glaze over and be like, ah, it's all going to be great. No, realize that there are going to be challenges.
Yes. I mean, life's little inconveniences happen. Your water bottle breaks in your backpack and like ruins your notebook. Like that's going to happen here. That's going to happen there. You know, it's not going to be perfect all the time.
Exactly.
So Leslie, did your AFS program affect your future studies and life plans?
I would definitely say that my AFS experience will continue to affect my future. I think studying abroad in another country was impacting me in the sense that I was like, okay, I'm capable of going to a school in another country and learning the language and studying there. So I actually want to go to med school abroad as well, because I was like, okay, I did it once. I think I can do it again. So I would like to go to med school. I want to go to med school in Israel. So that's definitely inspired by being able to see that I could handle it, doing it in France. It'll be different, definitely, but I'm excited. And also, maybe someday I want to live in Geneva because it's French-speaking there and it's a wonderful city. So I am very thankful for, the things I've learned. I'll definitely take it with me. And I am able to like practice my French on occasion. There's some people at my school that I can practice with. I'm very thankful.
Well, that's great. Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
Oh, thank you so much. I don't think I have anything else to add, but I've so enjoyed this. It's been great for me to just think back on my time. And even as I've been talking, like processing more of it.
Yes, absolutely. I've really enjoyed chatting with you.
Thank you so much. You too. Yes. See you.
And that was Zodi Schwind, an AFS returnee and marathon runner who went to France in 2017-2018. Well, thank you for listening to the AFS Exchange. I'm Kate Mulvihill. Let us know what you thought of this episode by sending a message to podcast@afsusa.org. This will be the last episode of the first season of the AFS Exchange. Keep an eye out on AFSUSA's social media to see what we're up to in 2022. This podcast was created by Kate Mulvihill. Social media by Julie Ball and Sarah Ahmed. Special thanks to our guest, Zodi Schwind, and Jessica Greenstein for getting us in touch with Zodi.